This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Okay, time out. Time out. Time out. Quick audible. Nicole.
Yeah, Nicole. What's going on?
Well, we're going to talk about a singer you love here in a second.
A couple singers that I love.
Yeah. Well, what are you doing with the Meatloaf song you loaded?
Well, I have yours coming as well.
You do?
Yeah. Okay. I thought it was already in there. And then when I went to bump it up for you, I realized it's not.
Oh,
so I'm pulling it right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, because there's only one real meaningful Meatloaf song.
It's the one that you're looking at, my
No,
favorite.
It's not. No, it's
yes,
not.
It is.
That's just simply not true. Uh-huh. But go ahead and continue to believe that if you must. Hey, welcome to the Fast 15 World of News in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. So I was coming home from an appointment yesterday evening. It was about 5 o'clock. And I heard CBS News that Adele had just canceled or postponed her Vegas residency that was supposed to begin tonight. And she was so sad when she told her fans, like Nicole, about it.
Hi,
Wait, before I play this. So you and Brandy and somebody else going with you guys?
Yeah, a couple of friends. There's four of us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're all going to see Adele in April, and you paid just some insane amount for the tickets. Is that right?
Yes, although when you see the reports on how much they were, there was some lower price tickets. So
it was
the most I've ever paid for a ticket, but it was in $1,200.
For opening night tonight at the Coliseum in Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas tonight, some people reportedly paid $30,000 on the secondary market.
That's crazy.
But think about these people. All these people flew out to Vegas. They have the airfare. They have the hotel room. A lot of them paid secondary market, four figures or even five figures for a ticket. And then she cancels 24 hours before the show? How unprofessional is Adele?
That's what you get for paying that much money on the secondary market, because that's ridiculous.
I'm talking about the airfare and the hotel, too.
I know. It's so sad.
She's unprofessional. It's not
sad. Were you not touched by her tears in this apology?
No. The show must go on. I'm going to talk to Brandy about this. Brandy Cruz is going to join us at 1:30. I'll talk to her about it, too, since she's on your trip. But, yeah, here she is. Oh, I'm so sad.
Listen, I'm so sorry, but my show ain't ready.
By the way, my show isn't ready. Please use proper English and grammar,
British,
Adele.
British say it that way, right?
My show ain't ready. Come on.
My show ain't ready. We've tried absolutely everything that we can to put it together in time. And for it to be good enough for you, but we've been absolutely destroyed by delivery delays and COVID. Half my crew, half my team are down with COVID. They still are. And it's been impossible to finish the show. And I can't give you what I have right now. And I'm gutted. I'm gutted. And I'm sorry it's so last minute.
Gutted. Aren't there two T's in gutted? She's gutted. No, let's get to where she's crying here.
We're on it. We're going to reschedule all of the dates. We're on it right now.
Keep going.
Now, Fia, I'm so sorry. It's been impossible. We've been up against so much and it just ain't ready. I'm really sorry.
I was kind of agnostic on Adele. Up until this. I don't like her now.
Okay.
I don't like her.
If you don't want to put on a mediocre show. Like, she's talked this up, and people are spending this money, and now you don't want to put on a show that's half-baked, you know?
Have you ever listened to the show that you and I do every day?
Well, people aren't paying $30,000 to listen to it.
Thank goodness.
Oh, We might
but
put
every
some more
day,
effort in.
Every day at 12:06, we're here. We don't ever say that we're gutted because we're not able to do the show the way we'd like. We just do it. We're professionals. Then there's her. She's not a professional. I don't like her anymore.
I don't love that she did it. And those people that got on planes and that were already there, I feel like she should have done some sort of meet and greet or a mini concert to say, sorry, I'm going to sing a couple of songs for you, but then you'll be invited back to another show. There's definitely more that she could have done. I am disappointed in that for those people because, that would hurt.
When are you guys going? April?
April.
Okay. Is it going to happen?
Hopefully. I don't know. I feel like the messaging wasn't real clear about that. She said all shows will be rescheduled, but I'm assuming that means all shows this weekend that were scheduled because it's weekends with Adele, so it's every weekend through spring.
Yeah,
well, I assume they're not pushing
let's see what all the
all
rage
back.
Is about here. If you're going to let me down gently, don't pretend. She does have a great voice. Why does she smoke?
I love her music.
You got a voice like that and she smokes like a chimney. Why would somebody destroy their voice that way? I don't understand that. That's enough of them.
So good.
All right. But even better is this one. I'm going to skip ahead here. This is a song. This is music here. Well, I remember every little thing as if it happened only yesterday. Parking by the lake and there was not another car inside. Now, do you take my advice, Nicole? Did you watch this entire 8-minute video this morning?
So I haven't had time since you said you watched the whole thing.
Oh!
Have we not been working? Like you said, we put on the show at noon.
I know,
I only
we've
had
been working
a little heads up.
Well, that's why I watched it at 1 a.m. after when I heard that Meatloaf died at midnight. And then the first thing I did was I pulled up the entire Paradise by the Dashboard Light. And the woman he's singing with, the two of them just... Let's see if I can scroll. All right, first of all, what a great line. There ain't no doubt about it. We were doubly blessed because we were barely 17 and we were barely dressed. I mean, so it's about two high school kids in a car, Paradise by the Dashboard Light. The only thing that annoys me about this song in the video, it was a classic early MTV video back when MTV actually did music videos. But it has a sequence here where they use Yankees announcer Phil Rizzuto, and it's the metaphor of he's rounding first base, trying to get to second base, trying to get to third base, trying to steal home. And they show old 1950s newsreel Yankees and Brooklyn Dodgers clips, and it doesn't match up. It talks about going into third base, and it shows somebody going into second base on the video. It annoys me. It's a baseball purist. All the way tonight, I'm gonna go all the way in tonight, tonight. Scroll ahead here. Because he's asking her. Oh, there's Phil Rizzuto there. Let me give you just a little bit of the scooter.
Here's the pitch. He's throwing it. What a jump he's got. He's trying the third. Here's the throw. And in the dirt. Safe at third. Holy cow. Going back. Taking a pretty big lead out there. Almost daring him to try and pick him off.
Now he's trying to get to home.
Here's the throw. Here's the play at the plate. Holy cow, I think he's going to make it.
Stop right there.
Oh, stop right there. That's the line.
Now, did you watch the video I told you to watch?
I hate it. No, I was preparing for the show this morning.
Oh,
I watch
my
videos
favorite
at
tune.
1 a.m. Well,
Meatloaf.
Okay. So Meatloaf was 74. He famously said that he wouldn't get vaccinated. He'd rather die. And was it COVID-related? Is that what you heard?
Oh, yes. Yes, he died of COVID. Mm-hmm.
Man, so Paradise by the Dashboard Lights is over 8 minutes, and this one's almost 8 minutes?
Yes.
Parallel parking can be nerve-wracking.
Some days it don't come at all, and these are the days that never end. And some nights you're breathing fire, and some nights you're talking nice.
He had kind of an operatic voice, too.
Gosh, I mean, yes, absolutely. I also pulled for you him singing the national anthem, and I just think he sounds amazing.
94 baseball all-star game. All right, Meatloaf, dead.
We used to, at 75. Back when I was growing up, my mom was big on cleaning days. So every week we had a cleaning afternoon, and we would either listen to Bat Out of Hell or we listened to Billy Ray Cyrus. Those were our choices. That's how we cleaned.
Bat Out of Hell is one of the top 10 selling albums in the history of music.
Oh, I believe it. That was big. I mean, I remember that being huge.
That's still, even though that was that's my era right there. That was crazy to me when I saw that. I mean, you think about, you know, Hotel California and all the Beatles albums and the Stones have had huge albums, but Bat Out of Hell, you know, Michael Jackson and Thriller and Bat Out of Hell by Meatloaf was one of the top 10 selling albums of all time. That was really surprising to me when I heard that. But Meatloaf, he made an impact. Oh, let's see what else. I should have done this before I went on the air. Top 10 all-time albums.
Can you play where he explains where he got the name Meatloaf from?
Of course I can.
I put that
on. Okay, I got it when I was 4 days old. Not the loaf part, just the meat, because I was born bright red. So the doctor suggested that they should keep me in the hospital for a few days. And my dad actually spoke like this. So I want you to name my son there because he looks like 9.5 pounds of ground chuck. I want you to put a name tag on the front of that plastic crib and it say meat on it. They stuck that printed card, said meat, and that was it. And the loaf came about in the 8th grade. I stepped on a coach's foot and he screamed, "Get off my foot, you hunk of meatloaf."
he was a good person politically too. He was a solid patriot, that Meatloaf.
Okay, oh, here, man, listen to this. So sad he went the way he did, darn it.
Well, remember he collapsed on stage a couple years ago? That was
yes.
The last time we talked mm-hmm. about him. Okay, here are the top albums of all time. This is crazy. Number one all time, Michael Jackson's Thriller. Number two, Back in Black by AC/DC. Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, number three. Whitney Houston, The Bodyguard soundtrack, number four. Michael Jackson, Bad, number five. Meatloaf, Bout Out of Hell, number six in the history of music. It's the sixth big. It's bigger than Hotel California. That's crazy to me. Sold 43 million copies. And then Eagles' Greatest Hits was number seven. Shania Twain, number eight. Saturday Night Fever, number nine. And then Fleetwood Mac Rumors, number 10. Meatloaf. Bigger than the Eagles, bigger than Fleetwood Mac. And gone at the age of 74. But what a life he lived. Rest in power, Meatloaf. And Louis Anderson died, too. He was 68, but he had cancer. He was battling cancer. But I got those alerts in rapid succession last night as I was preparing for the show that both Meatloaf and Louis Anderson had died. All right, we got some other news we have to get to here. So have you had some Amazon packages that never arrived at your house? Because
yes,
a lot of them, you have, I know you have,
yeah.
A lot of them, they go part of their journey from the Amazon distribution center and then by train to the local distribution centers. And Los Angeles is a gigantic hub, and there's a Burlington Northern freight line that stops in L.A., and there are a bunch of criminal gangs who rush the boxcars on the trains, break into them, and they just steal thousands, tens of thousands of Amazon packages. It is just unleashed criminality. And in fact, a reporter was covering this story because the California governor is finally saying we should do something about this after weeks of, you know, millions of packages getting stolen in total. But listen to one of the packages that is not getting delivered that the reporter spotted down in L.A.
Some of these boxes contain retail goods bound for America's empty store shelves. This track strewn with boxes stretches as far as you can see in both directions. This entire area was cleaned up in mid-December, which means that all of this came from train robberies in just the last month. And these are UPS and Amazon packages bound for all over the U.S. I see Everett, Washington. I see Portland, Oregon. Phoenix, Arizona.
There you go. Everett, Washington. So that might have been your package right there laying on the ground.
It probably was.
Huh?
It probably was. I've missed a few where they say that it's on its way and then it doesn't actually come for 2 weeks because they have to resend it.
I bet that was your package. You live in Everett. It was your package right there.
I know. Could be.
Crying out loud. But then listen to this. So this is the insanity of woke politicians. So Gavin Newsom, he's talking about these criminal gangs and how they're stealing all these packages.
This is not one-off. This is organized theft. These are organized gangs of people that are coming out. And forgive me for saying gangs. I know that's not a pejorative. They're organized groups of folks.
Oh. He's afraid that when he says gang, that people will associate that with black people. So he immediately apologizes, even though these are criminal gangs. We have motorcycle gangs. They're mostly white people. You have criminal gangs that can be anybody. You have other gangs that can be predominantly black, the Crips and the Bloods. But the governor has to apologize. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say gangs. How did he rephrase
this? This is not one-off. This is organized theft. These are organized gangs of people that are coming out. And forgive me for saying gangs. I know that's not a pejorative. They're organized groups of folks.
They're not gangs. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry I said gangs. They're organized groups of folks. So that's who's stealing all the Amazon package. It's got to be torturous to be a lefty, man. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to say gangs. They're organized groups of folks who are breaking onto the trains. That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Dory's Fastest 15.
All right, you organized group of folks. We're going to check the news for you. And then Brandi Cruz is going to join me for her weekly visit. That's coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Every week on The Big Show, we like to catch up with our friend Brandi Cruz, independent journalist, host of the Undivided podcast, and she joins us here on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Good afternoon, friend.
Hello.
I've got a lot of things that, oh, you did your Adele accent there. I'll get to Adele coming up in a few minutes here. But I know one of the stories you're going to cover, and it's one that's near and dear to my heart. I found out yesterday that a little eye surgery I was going to have in a week and a half has been postponed because of Jay Inslee and elective surgeries. There's a far more serious story that I talked about an hour ago. A woman up in Whatcom County, a friend of Nicole's, who has a brain tumor. It is terminal. She wants to extend her life by a few months because she has kids, and the doctors are ready, willing, and able to do that. Well, they're ready and willing, but they're not able to do it because Jay Inslee's elective surgery ban says since it's not going to save her life, it would only extend her life and being able to be with her children for a few extra months. They can't do the procedure. Right. And that's where, and she said, is Jay Inslee, does he think he's God now in these decisions? And I know that you're talking to people on the same subject on Undivided this weekend.
Yeah, well, first, that's I didn't get a chance to listen to that. I'll have to go back and listen to your segment on that because that's just absolutely horrible.
It's amazing. Yeah.
But, you know, I'm sure you're in a similar situation to me where I've been inundated with emails from people who are saying, hey, you know, I really need XYZ surgery and I can't get it. And here's the impact on me. And really, I feel like no matter how you feel about the governor's pause on these non-urgent procedures, as he labels them, you know, it's still important to tell the stories of the people who are impacted and to try to understand what they're going through. So Sunday on the Undivided Digital Show, you're going to hear from three different people who need various surgeries and can't get them right now. One of them, he's an older gentleman. He needs a hip replacement, which some people say would say, well, it's not that bad. Well, he is in constant pain 24 hours a day, cannot move. He basically is stationary for 23 of 24 hours a day, is on opioids, is worried about becoming addicted to them the longer he has to stay on them. So there's all these implications. I spoke to a woman whose husband has cancer. Right now, if they do the procedure, it would be a relatively easy procedure. If they wait, she's worried about it spreading. She's worried about him having to do chemo. She's worried about losing her job because she's been given a leave to take care of him, but she doesn't know how long that leave's going to be extended. And so these are really, really hard stories to hear and to see the situation that this decision from the governor has left people in.
Well, and, you know, for the guy who's getting his hip replaced, as you recall, a week before COVID hit, February of 2020, I had to replace my right knee. And it didn't feel optional at the time to me because I was in pain that I felt like it was killing me. Because when you have this chronic pain, it is your constant companion, and mine would range from, you know, a 2 to, you know, flashes of a 10 if I would step wrong, and it kills you. It just wears you down. And so, no, it doesn't seem optional. I'm very fortunate I got in a week before that moratorium. But, yeah, I mean, this is horrible. And, yeah, go back and listen to this woman, her letter that she wrote, because she just wants some extra time with her kids. And we have a governor who says you can't do that right now. It's just crazy to me. Hey, another issue that I know you weighed in on this week, KUOW had a great story about women who are suing Raz Simone. He was the Chaz Chop warlord. They claim in their lawsuit that he sex trafficked them. He essentially pimped them out. He made them go to strip clubs, forced them to give him $1,000 a day. They allege that he sexually assaulted them. This is a guy that Jenny Durkin gave $83,000 to build a recording studio with our tax money. This is a guy who was the passing out guns out of the trunk of a car at Chaz and Chop, and nothing ever happened to him. It's amazing to me.
The Raz Simone story is just all shades of bizarre. And the grant he got from the city was pre-Chaz Chop. He got a grant to build a recording studio, but still, you know, he's at Chaz Chop. He is actively handing out firearms to people out of the trunk of a car, to rioters. And then that's the person the city is negotiating with behind the scenes to try to get their own police precinct back. And now these accusations, you know, there were some accusations that came out of this nature from these women about a year ago. The new news is that they have now filed a lawsuit. I actually heard from one of the women who emailed me after I had shared KOW's story and just said, thank you, you know, for getting the word out, because this has been horrifying. And Raz Simone denies all of this. Right. But it's just this, you know, somebody asked me a good question on Twitter, which I would really like to know the answer to. And there is this belief among some of the rioters slash protesters that Raz Simone was a police plant, that he was there to try to distract from peaceful protesting, which I don't believe. But they point out, why wasn't he charged with anything for handing rifles out of the trunk of a car, which I do not understand why a city like Seattle, there is. And he wasn't just caught on camera doing this.
Right.
He was willingly on camera, like to look cool, handing rifles out of the trunk of his car.
Well, I believe he wasn't charged because the city was absolutely paralyzed by the Black Lives Matter movement, and they were afraid that it would look racist. And I mean, look at what the city has done in the name of equity. They gave $83,000 to Raz Simone before Chaz Chop. They paid Andre Taylor $150,000 to be a street czar. Andre Taylor had notoriety because his brother Shay, who was in prison for a rape and then got shot when he illegally had a gun under a car seat, and Seattle police shot and killed him. And Andre Taylor's an admitted pimp of underage girls. He turns out 14 and 15-year-old girls on the street as a pimp in Vegas. And then he gets a $150,000 a year job with the city of Seattle. And the thing that just blows my mind, man, Brandy, is that you have these Democratic politicians who say we need tougher gun laws. We need to be better in how women are treated in our society. And yet a guy can pass out guns out of a trunk. A guy can be a pimp of 14 and 15-year-old girls. And the city goes into partnership with them in the name of equity. It is bizarre to me, the decisions that are made.
When I get Andre Taylor as an experiment, I'm a firm believer that people can turn their lives around. And, you know, if you have connections to community or, you know, gang members, maybe you can make inroads to help reduce gun violence. But the Street Czar experiment was a failure. They ended up not renewing his contract. I did an interview with Mayor Durkin, and she all but told me that there really wasn't anything done. And so she didn't renew the contract. And so, you know, you want to try it, make an experiment, see if this former pimp, you know, can... who served, you know, who was prosecuted for this, can turn things around. And when it didn't happen, I don't know how you continue to do things like that.
Yeah, I just, you know, was there nobody else who did not have a history of turning 14 and 15-year-old girls out onto the streets? Yeah. And by the way, former pimp and current pimp, he claims that he's returned to the pimp lifestyle in a video that he's made in the last few months. So, yeah, I mean, just the decision-making. Okay, and then finally, Brandy, on a much lighter note, what's up with your girl Adele?
Oh, my God.
She annoyed me with that video she made yesterday.
Did you say much lighter note? That is not a light note. It's a dark note.
Yeah, good point. Good point. So she was supposed to start her Vegas residency tonight. Yeah. You and Nicole and who else is going? Don't tell me. You don't have to.
Okay.
I don't remember how many of you are gone. But you were going to go see her, and now she's postponed everything because of COVID and supply issues. And she's gutted.
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 Listen, nothing Adele could do.
Two T's and gutted Adele.
Would make me unlike her. She posted this Instagram video, you know, very teary-eyed, just apologizing, saying, I can't put the show on for you as is because of COVID issues and stuff related to her staff, related to shipping delays. I'm a little confused how you would think, you know, even 3-4 days out, you'd realize we're not going to be able to get this show together. Let's not cancel it the day before opening night. So I'm a little confused by that. The show we have tickets for is in April. So I'm hopeful that that's not going to change, but I just don't know at this point. And I honestly think if it's Adele, if she wants to stand up on stage in sweatpants, in a sweatshirt and sing a cappella, I would pay the same amount to see that as I would some elaborate production. So I kind of wish she had just done something. And I'm sure most Adele fans agree.
What is the is she like a cult leader? What is the strange pull that she has on all of you?
Well, she's just so talented and she's very likable. She's like the Dolly Parton of our generation. Nobody dislikes her.
Well, I don't know. I kind of have started to. You cancel a show. The show must go on. That's an old showbiz adage. I don't, at 12:02, say, I can't do my show. I'm sorry. I've got it.
I'm sorry, but I did your show once on an hour notice. So
when?
A month ago. I got a call from Nicole. She's like, Dory's got it. Come do the show.
I was in the ER.
Still, I'm just saying, hey, Dory, there's an old showbiz adage.
I was
the
in
show
the
must
ER.
Go on. The
Adele
show must go on.
In a Vegas suite, smoking right now. I was in the ER. Bad comparison, Brandy. Okay, you can watch Brandy Cruz's Undivided podcast. New episode drops every Monday and Friday. Hey, Friday's today.
It is.
All right, how can people, where do they go, Brandy?
Wherever you get your podcast, look for the Undivided Podcast with Brandy Cruz. You can also watch our Sunday digital show on YouTube. Or if you want to support my independent venture, you can become an Undivided subscriber at patreon.com/undivided.
There it is. All right, Brandy, have a fantastic weekend. Thanks for coming on today.
You too. Thanks, Tori.
Okay, our friend Brandy Cruz joining us. Love to hear your thoughts on anything we just discussed. You can text me, 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, everybody in the media is calling what's happening with President Joe Biden a disaster for Joe Biden. Because new daily low polls for him, the Real Clear Politics poll of polls, where they add them all together and then have a cumulative total, lowest ever. And they say it's a disaster for Joe Biden. You know, forget about him. He doesn't know what's going on. It's a disaster for America. You know, you got world leaders. You might have war between Russia and Ukraine. And you got a president who is completely, absolutely ineffectual. One question. Why does he do this one thing that he does at every press conference? So at his big press conference a couple of days ago, somebody asked him about schools closing down again because of COVID. And he answered in a way that has become really tiresome and tedious.
You say we're not going to go back to closing schools. You said that just moments ago. Yet they're closing in some areas. What do you say to those teachers and principals and parents about school closings? And what can your administration do to help make up for learning loss for students?
First of all, I put in perspective the question you asked. Very few schools are closing. Over 95%. Are still open. So you all phrase the questions when people, I don't think it's deliberate on your part.
So why does he
But you phrase the question when anyone watches this on television. My God, there must be, all those schools must be closing. What are we going to do? 95% are still open.
What's with the whispering? And it is a bizarre, I don't know if it's the, you know, it's creeping dementia or if it's some other weird affectation. But he has a history of whispering at his press conferences.
I got them $1.9 trillion relief so far. They're going to be getting checks in the mail that are consequential. I wrote the bill on the environment. Pay them more. This is an employees bargaining chip now. What's happening?
I'll tell you what's happening. I'm scared to have you as president. At his press conference, there's still some fallout, too, as it does appear more and more that Russia's going to invade Ukraine. And Biden at his press conference said, well, if it's a minor incursion, that's fine. It's a major one, then we'll do something. And now they've been in damage control mode for 48 hours trying to fix is, you know, just cognitive decline mistakes that he was making. And you know who is jumping all over that? Of course you do.
Because that's like giving him, you know, they use the term green light. He was green lighted. And, you know, it's very interesting because the president of Ukraine last night, he was seen in some very unusual pictures. He couldn't believe what he heard. He couldn't believe what he heard. And I couldn't believe what... If whether you're for strong stoppage or not, you're really telling him you might as well go in. And you also can't just talk in terms of sanctions, because sanctions don't mean too much to Russia. If you want to stop somebody, you're not going to be talking just about sanctions. But he really told him go in. I think it's a whole different ballgame right now.
What is? Because we have a president who is absolutely gone. We haven't. Total empty suit leading the free world right now. And politics, like nature, abhors a vacuum. We'll check the news for you here at the top of the hour. Then lots of other local stuff to get to. The big lead at 2 next here on the Dory Monson Show.